I want to go to the Gospel of John. I want to go to verse chapter 14. I want to read verse 30 and 31. The last two verses. John 14:30-31. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He starts chapter 14 in his discourse there. They come in to eat together. He's about to be crucified. John tells a third of his gospel is devoted to talking about these last hours of Jesus' life. Nobody tells us so much about what Jesus was saying as he came down to this place of surrender, total surrender to God. And how that word came from him in preparation for his disciples. So, he's conveyed to them that they're going to be confronted with peacelessness. And I want to read these two verses. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Father, we pray that you'll touch this word.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
Father, you would lead us by your wisdom, elongate our understanding of the things you'd have us to understand. God, we need to hear from you. God, we are a people that are in an hour, just like these people of transition. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us your comfort as only your Spirit can do. God, we pray it in your righteous name. Amen and amen. If you take just a second and look at what Jesus said, it seems like it can't be right. He tells the disciples, I'm not going to be able to talk much more with you. He used the word prince, and the Greek word is ruler. The ruler of this world is coming. And he has no part in me. But because I'm going to do the will of the Father so that the world can see that I love the Father, I'm going to walk in obedience to this hour. Ruler of the world. If it was anybody else that said that, it would make some kind of sense. But here's the Creator.
Right.
The Creator said that.
Right.
God Himself is manifested in the flesh, and He stands here in this moment in history, and He says to His own disciples, I'm not going to talk much with you anymore. That's because the time is running out. He said it to the garden to pray. Words are passed. But what he tells them is, the ruler of this world, the one who rules this world, is coming. And he has no part in me. It's easy to think that God rules everything. It's easy to think that because he's sovereign, everything goes his direction. But we forget what happens when men move contrary to God. He came to his own, the Bible said, and his own received him not. When he was up on the mountain of temptation and testing, the Bible said that Satan tormented him for 40 days. At the end of this tormented time, they engage in a battle. Satan tells him, if you're the Son of God, you could turn this stone into bread. And the point, of course, is that there is a physical part of us that has needs. So Satan is talking to Jesus about that physical man. Surely your physical man knows that God should give you this bread. And the implication is, we're going to test the voice that said you're the Son, and this will prove beyond a doubt that you are that Son of God, if he'll turn the stone into bread. Because surely he wouldn't let you go hungry. So there's this twisting of accusation that says, you know, God's not good.
Yeah.
You've heard this voice. I don't believe it's God. I don't believe in the voice of God. I don't believe in the word of God. That's just the way Satan talks.
Right.
Satan
don't Yeah,
tell you the truth. He's a liar. He believes the word of God. He believes in the word of God.
Yes,
he believes in the word of God so much. God told Abraham, your children are going to be evilly entreated for 400 years, and then I'm going to send them a deliverer. At the end of 400 years, the devil went to Pharaoh and said, you better start killing all the male babies.
That's right.
Because they're mightier than you. They're gonna overthrow your kingdom. The Hebrews are more powerful than you. And they're just going to get rid of you as the king. So Pharaoh began to send out a word that said, we're going to kill all the Hebrew babies. All the males are going to be killed. Leave the girls alive. The point is, Satan believed the deliverer was there. He knew the clock had run to 400. And when it did, he said, we're going to kill the babies. Mm-hmm. Satan believed the word of God. The children of Abraham didn't believe the word of God. They weren't watching the clock, waiting for the 400 years to get by and say, you know what, 400 years have passed since that promise, the deliverer is among us. Surely things are about to change. None of those things were said, but Satan believed it. He believes the word of God. But he told Jesus, you know, you need to have your physical needs met. There's something about the flesh and the level of it that wants from God things. I remember when I was a kid, some of the things I prayed for, and I got to be honest with you, I expected God to do it. I expected God to do it. I wanted a car. I was turning 16. Prayer was my choice. I lived in a family so poor that money wasn't an option, so prayer was the thing you did. And I was just sure if you prayed, God would answer that prayer. He was wise enough to know I did not need a Ford Mustang. I was praying, and then here's the deal. And I'll just be honest with you, because Reader Digest was giving one away. Now, how easy is that?
There you go.
I'm just saying, here I am, they're giving it away, give it my way. So, you know, I had it figured out. Wasn't going to cost him anything. Nothing. And there I was, going to be the recipient of this new Ford Mustang. And it seemed really easy for him and really easy for me. And, of course, I could see myself driving down the road in it.
Right.
And the flesh does that still. So God showed us something about man. You see, when Jesus came and he talked about the ruler of the world, he wasn't just talking about Satan. He was talking about this thinking that had happened to people. Something was changing inside for a long time in this kingdom that God had made. And by the time Jesus came, by the time God came among them, you guys, they'd lost God. They didn't know his voice. They weren't walking with him. They didn't believe in the miraculous. They didn't know he was coming, and they didn't know he was coming to be crucified.
Right.
Nothing about the most important things in history were evident to the priesthood.
Nope.
They were lost as to spiritual things, and they were lost as to physical things. They had their own ideas.
Yeah.
So men had formed their own ideals, and from those ideals, they decided what the kingdom should be. They decided what life should be like. And it was all at a fleshly level. It wasn't at a spiritual level. The kingdom of God had ceased to live at a spiritual level. When the kingdom of God was living at a spiritual level, the people came out of Egypt, went into the wilderness. That's spiritual level. They're living in a place where there is no water. They're living in a place where there is no food. They're living in a place where they are locked into God, and if he moves, they move. What if you're tired and you don't want to go? But God, I don't want to go today. And the cloud is moving. I hate it when this cloud moves. Because when the cloud moves, I've got to move. Oh, I don't have to, but the water goes with the cloud. The food goes with the cloud. The sun will burn you to death outside the cloud.
Right.
You don't want to be left in the sun. You don't want to be left in the sun. What you want is to have the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something about cruises in the Caribbean right now.
Yeah.
It's a rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the rainy season is it rains every day.
Yeah.
And when you come back from a cruise in December and everybody thinks you got a tan, you don't have tan, you have rust. All you have You're brown, but it isn't from the sun. It's from the fact it rained every day, and you're going to play in the pool because you paid for the cruise. And you just play in the pool. You're telling yourself, well, I'm getting wet anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Just helping my buddy. I'm just
that is true,
that's
man.
The truth.
Yep.
Great temple. A life of ease, mm-hmm. blessings galore.
Yeah.
The whole world looking at him saying, now there is a kingdom, and what a king.
Yeah.
But the thing they missed was, the issue was, what a king, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, what a king. Yeah. And Solomon will tell you know it isn't me.
That's right.
I told God, I want wisdom to take care of your people.
Yes, amen.
I want you to give me wisdom. I want to know how to be the king you want me to be.
Yeah.
I want you to fill me up with your wisdom because I don't have any ability to do these things myself. So I want you to be in me what I need to be. That's what the king was, but they missed the point. The point of all of the kingdom is the king, isn't it?
Right.
It's about the ruler that's over the kingdom, because if you have the right king, the kingdom is safe. The Bible is filled with the story of the same kingdom, and it depended on the king. When Ahab was king, terrible things went on. He set his own agenda, did his own things, listened to Jezebel. She was part of the leadership. And you guys, men began to get farther and farther away from what the dynamic of the kingdom is. The dynamic of the kingdom is being led by the king.
That's right.
It is being under his dominion and going where the king goes. So Jesus comes and he is standing with 12 apostles on a night like no other night. And he tells these disciples, the king, the ruler of this world, the prince of this world is coming. I'm not going to be able to talk much more with you. I'm in a conflict. I'm in a battle.
Yeah.
And the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. That was what was happening up on the mountain, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me get something in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me get something in you.
Right.
That's what Satan wants, you guys.
Ooh, yeah.
He wants to put a handle on you that makes you like a piece of luggage.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can carry you around.
Yeah. He does.
He told Jesus, you know, you need bread. He said, I need God.
Yeah, amen.
He said, but you're hungry. And God should feed you. He said God suffered them to hunger so they would eat manna from the wilderness.
Yep.
I've got something to eat better than this.
Yeah. Amen.
And I know God better than this.
Right.
So the devil moved into the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And he took him up on the top of the temple.
Yeah.
To the place of preeminence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Said, look at you. Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to prove that you are the most powerful preacher that ever lived. Throw yourself down. Because you know God ain't going to let you get hurt. And how will that affect people watching you fall from the top of the temple and God rescuing you as an angel? Man, I'm seeing power here. You want your name in the paper? You want people to say, "This is what a ministry. What a place of superiority. What a great man of God.
Yeah.
He can throw himself off the temple and God won't even let him get hurt. There's no end to your power. There's no end to your prowess. There's no end to how great you are. The newspapers are going to be all full of who you are." And Jesus said, I'm going to tempt God.
Yeah.
Because in the spirit realm, there's that place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you show up looking good in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody mentions God.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon, you really like the fact that you showed up in the paper and nobody mentioned God. Because then it does look like you did it. And you guys, we've had pastors and preachers blow people down on television to prove how much power they had. And the truth is, we've got a nation that's not being led, because the whole thing about the kingdom is about the right idea. What is the idea behind Jesus Christ and his kingdom? First idea is surrender.
Yes.
First idea is surrender. First idea is give him all you want, because you don't, or give him all you have, because the truth is he knows who you are. You can't fool God. You can't pretend you're Christian in front of your mom and dad.
Right.
You can't pretend that you can quote scriptures and you impress your friends. It's about how you live.
Right.
It's about what you do inside. It's about what's inside of you that comes down to what you want to do with God. And if you don't want to do with God, God knows it.
Yeah.
And so you might as well quit pretending.
Yeah.
The church ought to quit pretending.
Right.
the people of God were still pretending in the days of Jesus, and that was what was the confusion of the disciples, because Jesus said, the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no part in me. I'm in a conflict. I'm in a battle. And what my battle is to surrender to death. That's what he told the disciples. But so that the world would know that I love my Father, I'm going to go ahead and die.
Yes.
See, the ruler of the world is going to tell everybody I killed him. The ruler of the world is going to say I killed him. He was an imposter. It wasn't God. And it fit with the idea that men had.
Right.
It fit with the idea of what men wanted. Because he didn't make them a great nation anymore. So they were through it. In fact, they said, Jesus gave a parable, he said, about the people that were of the kingdom, and they said, we would not have this man to rule over us. We will not have this man to rule over us. That's what Jesus understood about the kingdom. That wasn't his kingdom.
Yeah.
That wasn't his kingdom. He wasn't their king.
Yeah.
He was a king, but he wasn't their king. In order to be their king, they'd have to bow to him, and they were not going to bow to him. And the reason was because Satan had filled them with all kinds of ideas about what religion was and what would happen. So they had their own ideas about what would constitute pleasing God, walking with God, taking care of God. And what they came up with was that the farther they got away from God, the less reality there was of God, and the more they pretended. They couldn't even answer a real question. They asked Jesus, hey, by what authority do you do this? By what authority do you do this? And he said, I got a question for you. You answer my question.
Yeah.
Baptism of John, was it of God or men? And they reasoned in their hearts. They were reasoning men.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't tell him a real answer because they weren't a people of a real answer. They were a people of subterfuge.
Yeah.
They were people who were so corrupted with the wrong ideas that the real idea is answering the truth. Just telling the truth. Baptism of John, was it of God or men? You tell me. You're the priests of God. You're the leadership of God. Now tell me what the truth is. That's the bedrock of the idea of the kingdom. Get down to what's true. He said, tell me the truth. Baptism of John. They said, well, if we say it's of man, the people will stone us because they believe it's of God. If we say it's of God, he's going to say, then I am the Messiah.
Right.
Because John said he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
Amen.
And these people said, we'll never admit that. We wouldn't admit that if he raised the dead.
Right.
And that's what happens when you have the wrong idea about the kingdom. When you have the wrong ideas and feed the wrong information into people, you come up with the wrong thinking inside. And that's what Satan's after. So then you establish rulers. You've got to have leaders. So you establish your own leaders. And they rule by contempt. The whole idea of a ruler is not that he is looked at, but that the people are taken care of.
Amen. Right.
Isn't that what a leader's all about? A leader's not about how what everybody thinks of him. What a leader's about is what is he doing for the people. In the days of Jesus, those rulers were thinking about one thing, and it was to look good.
Right.
To keep their position, to be what they were in the eyes of the people. Not what they were in the eyes of God.
Right.
Not what they were in the eyes of God. They weren't going to stand in front of the people on the judgment day. They were not going to stand. They are not going to stand before the people on the judgment day. They're going to stand before God on the judgment day. And they whittled away their time pretending that they could mock God, deny God, and keep the kingdom. Because Jesus gave a parable, said that the Father put out the kingdom, or put out a vineyard, and then he sent his servants to come and get the fruit, and eventually said, I'll send my son, they'll reverence him. And they said, here comes the heir, let's kill him. And the inheritance will be ours. That's what rulers did. They went the wrong direction. They said, we're ruling in this thing. So God showed us that Jesus said, I'm not going to look for men to look at me for what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise this little dead girl. And I'm going to send everybody out. In fact, I'm going to tell everybody she's just asleep.
Yeah.
And then when they see her walking around, they're going to say, you know what? He was right. She was just in a coma. She was just asleep.
Yeah.
Truth is, she's dead. But he was still not going to get up on the temple. Do you get it?
Amen.
He's still going to throw himself off the temple so you can see how great he is.
Right.
He's not going to impress you with who he is. He's not going to let you put that in him. He can keep that handle off of him. Because once you start down that road of impressing people with who you are, you can't quit. And God's going to bring us to a place of humility. And when he brings us to that place of humility, we want to be face down on the carpet.
Yes.
We want to be face down on the dirt. We want to be face down on the grass. We want to be face down wherever we're at.
Yes.
No kidding. Yes. Oh.
The devil said, yeah, you need to show people that that scripture would hold up. Throw yourself down. You're at the top of the temple. You've reached the peak. Jesus said, I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to tempt him. He promised to keep me. But I'm not going to do it for my grandeur.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it because I'm going to start selling his glory and put it on me. I'm not doing that. And then the Bible said Satan took him and showed him the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I give you these. All you have to do is spend a few minutes bowing to me.
Yeah.
Compromise is nothing. Compromise a little, a little lie, little of this, little of that. Compromise is nothing. Come on. I own these kingdoms.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get them. You're not going to get them from me unless you compromise. Because I've already got them deceived.
Right.
Yeah.
I've already deceived him.
Yep.
And what you're doing is preaching the very things that make him angry.
Yeah.
The things you're preaching makes him upset. Because you're not going to join up with their half. You're not going to be part of what they are. So you're standing in antithesis to what they believe, and they're getting angrier and angrier at you. But he said, if you would have a little compromise, if you would just bow to me, bow to my way of doing things, What is it if you don't talk against every lie? What is that to you? Leave me alone. Just leave me a place. Bow to me. Surrender. Just surrender on some of the issues. The church began to surrender on the issues.
Yeah,
the church of Jesus Christ began to surrender on the issues.
Yep.
And now where we're at today is the same place Jesus was. Because the ruler of this world is coming against the church. Was he defeated? Well, he was defeated, all right.
Sure.
He was defeated. Let's go back to in John. When Jesus talked about the kingdom, first time he mentioned it in John, actually it's the first time he mentioned it. Go back with me to 12. First time he mentioned the kingdom was Nicodemus, chapter 3 of John. And he told Nicodemus, in order to see the kingdom, you have to be born again. You have to be spirit. The last thing he tells about the kingdom in the Gospel of John, he's talking to Pilate. And he tells Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, and that's what men are talking about, that Jesus is going to come back and, it's all about us, all about, great things and all this religious talk. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would rise up and fight you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my servants would rise up and fight you. And he ain't just talking to the disciples. He had 12 legions of angels.
Mm-hmm.
He had 12 legions of angels. They would have thought they were in the upper room hearing the mighty rushing wind, and it had been angel wings. You don't want to mess with God. And they were messing with God. And he said, I'll tell you why I'm going to let them mess with me. Because I'm going to show them that I love the Father. Because that's what the ruler of this world is against. He's against me loving God so much that nothing about this world matters to me. I'm going to love him while you crucify me. I'm going to love you while you crucify me. Because the ruler of this world has no part in me. I've got a Teflon coated spirit.
Hallelujah.
And nothing sticks to me. I'm not letting him lead me into a trap. I'm not giving him a handle. I'm not going to let him buy me, bully me. I'm not going to let him push me, prod me. I've got a love for God that transcends, and that is what the church is going to have.
Yes, amen.
If you don't love God enough to lay yourself down at his feet, if you do not love God like Jesus loved God, then the ruler of this world can have his way. That's how he gets his way. He gets his way about buying us through these things. So he tells Jesus, you know, I can give you these kingdoms. Jesus came down off of that mountain, went straight into the synagogue, and he told the Jewish people in that synagogue, you're not going to have me.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of widows in the days of Elijah, and God couldn't send Elijah to one of your widows. So he sent him to the heathen, to the Gentiles. And they took him in, a widow, and the Gentiles took him in. And Elisha, in the days of Elisha, there were a lot of lepers in Israel. Said the kingdom has gone the wrong way a long time. Said you guys don't believe in God. You don't believe in God. You talk God, you have the temple, you're all excited about having the temple, but your belief system has been eroded. You don't even know what God wants you to believe anymore. You don't know what God intends for you to believe. You don't know what God requires of you. You've let men become your rulers. And those rulers were turning the people against Jesus. And it's the same thing today in religion. So what's happening is, God's got to bring us back to a place that said, look, it's easy for Satan to rule over in religious places. But he cannot rule over somebody who's willing to give their life to Christ and give their life to God. Look, I want you to go with me to verse 20 of John chapter 12. There were certain Greeks among them came up to worship at the feast. I'm in verse 20 of chapter 12, Gospel of John. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And that's really instructive. The Jewish people were fighting him, and the Gentiles, these Greeks, came up and said to the disciples, they went to Philip and said, Philip, we would see Jesus.
Yeah.
See what they said?
Yeah.
We would see. Oh, I don't mean just for a conference.
Right.
I mean, we see he's the King.
Yeah.
We see he's the King of glory. We see he's God in the flesh.
Yeah.
We would see Jesus.
Yep.
If the Greek people came and said that, it was at the end of the battles with the Jewish people. Now listen to what happened. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So these disciples are working together to come and tell Jesus that these Greek men want to see him. These Greek men came up to this feast, Jewish feast, to see Jesus. Now listen, because it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Listen. Then Jesus said this, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Loving and hating. About your own life. That's how Satan gets a handle.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's how Satan gets a handle on us.
Yes.
We don't want him to have a handle on us.
No.
And that's what Jesus was living like, and that's what he's telling us. Let's live like there's no handle. We're not offering the devil a way to get a hold of us.
Boy, no kidding.
If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Point is what? You glorify you.
Yeah, yeah.
You glorify you.
That's right.
Something had told Jesus that when the Greek men came to see him, he was about to be crucified. Because he never answered the Greek men back. He never answered the disciples back. They just came and said, there's some Greek men who want to see you. And he said, this is the hour. Now I'm going to be glorified. Now that the Greek men are here to see me, now that the Gentiles are seeking me, God said, this is it. So God told them. So there's this spiritual information that travels in the spirit world. Jesus wasn't sure what Passover he was going to be crucified at. He only knew he'd be crucified on Passover. He didn't know which one. But now he's come to this moment, and God gives him this sign. When the Greek men come, that's going to be a sign to you. When the Gentiles come and seek you, that'll be the Passover. And our life is like that. Our walk is like that. There's a lot of times we don't know what to do next, but the Spirit of God gives us this understanding. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. So, you can understand that he sees this conflict with the ruler of the world as what? How's he going to defeat the ruler of the world? How's he going to do this? He's going to die on a cross. And the uninformed have no concept of what's getting ready to happen. The uninitiated are going to say he was defeated. But he is coming to a place of victory, and the only way he can come to this place of victory over the ruler of this world is to disobey the ruler and take him on in conflict. And the obedience to God brings about this transformation for all mankind. So if he is our leadership, we begin to see how we escape from the ruler of the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So God's bringing us to a place that we don't love the world.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Amen.
And the church, because it has a different ideal, has not prepared people to run a race.
Yeah.
We're racing. You and I are racing. And the Bible said only one's going to receive the prize. And that's because he wants us to run with all of our heart. He wants us to chase after it. Listen. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? That's what they knew. That's what had happened to a people who had a priesthood who had the wrong ideas.
Right.
Who set themselves up as the wrong leadership and ruled with the wrong ruling. These people don't know what he's saying at all.
Yeah.
They haven't got a clue. They have the whole Old Testament to tell them. And they don't know what's going on. And that's happening to the church again.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah,
it is. What God wants for us. Our physical world's changing around us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I can tell you that what's happening is that God is bringing us to a place where we begin to recognize what it is that the church is about. Mm. It's not a pretend thing.
No.
It's about every one of us who love God, setting Him first.
Yeah.
Above us, above the things that we want. I want to go over to one more portion of Scripture. Let's go over to John 16. So, what did he say? This is chapter 12. This is before what we read. Am I right?
Right.
And Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now go with me to 16. We know that he's talking to the disciples yet about the Holy Spirit and what the work of the Holy Spirit is. And I want to go, let's just read from verse 5 is good. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, that's what the Holy Ghost was supposed to do in the church. Now, tell me.
Right.
Is that what the Holy Ghost has done? We've argued over the gifts. We've argued over the gifts. The tongues for today. How about interpretation? What about the miraculous? But God said, the Holy Ghost is going to keep this thing going right.
Right.
He's going to reprove the world of sin because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I am the truth.
Right.
I do bear witness about what is sin. We need to have understanding of spiritual morality. The Church of Jesus Christ does not understand spiritual morality.
Yeah.
The old man died at Calvary. Quit trying to fix the old man.
Right.
Give it up.
Hallelujah.
It's dead. Believe it. God just said it's dead. That's spiritual morality.
Yeah.
Jesus took it to the cross. Nailed your flesh, my flesh, to the cross. It's dead. Religion says fix the flesh, because that's what you see. That's that temple zone. That's that physical realm. We are living in a physical realm, and we are a spirit-born church. Tell me about that. Tell me how that works. It doesn't work. Your new man is born of incorruptible seed, and he does not sin.
That's right.
The new man, the Bible said, cannot sin because he's born of God. 1 John, he that is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Men say, well, it says practice sin. It doesn't say practice sin. It says cannot sin.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Cannot sin. Your new man that's born of the Spirit cannot sin, but it's just a baby.
Yeah.
So what's happening is spiritual morality is doing things God's way. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's what Jesus lived like. He deals with the woman caught in adultery, and there's no way that he could set her free without accepting her punishment. So he bears her punishment, he sets her free. And the truth of the thing is, he's bringing spiritual judgment to this woman. The people are bringing physical judgment.
Wow.
They want physical retribution to this woman. The woman at the well. You guys, spiritual morality and physical morality are two different things. We've got our own ideas, but every church has its ideas about morality. Every church wants to tell you what not to do. People are looking for answers about, well, tell me what not to do. Here's the thing about it. God said, love me.
Yeah.
This is all the commandments of this. Love your neighbor as yourself and love me. Love God, love your neighbor. Love me, love your neighbor. That ain't a hard thing. When you love somebody, it takes you past all the stuff. What do you have to tell somebody? If you love somebody, they don't have to fear that you're going to steal from them.
Right.
When you love somebody, you're not going to lie to them. If you lie to somebody, you know that's not love.
No.
Love isn't like that. When you look at what love does, you don't need any of the other commandments. That's the whole point. When you love somebody, you don't commit adultery on them. When you love somebody, you don't murder them.
Right.
You guys, the church has descended into this pit of what it calls morality. And the truth is we've decided that we should have long sleeves and no beard.
Right. That's
right. And some people just take a long time growing. What can I tell you? The thing that God wants us to understand is these guys were living in a world with a world ruler.
That's right.
And the world ruler let them have church. The world ruler let them do church because they were destroying people.
Yeah.
They were destroying people. They were sending people to hell. Jesus said, you're making twofold more the child of the devil than yourself.
Yeah.
His estimation of what was happening at that moment in history was beyond our concept of confusion. Beyond our concept of what should be darkness. Darkness was ruling in Israel, and there stood the light, and they couldn't see the light. The Bible said the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness couldn't get it. I don't get this light. They said, look, he's gonna set these people free that are sinners. He's soft on sin. He isn't soft on sin. He took the sin.
Amen.
He paid for the sin. The debt is paid.
Yes.
Till we came to the altar? No, till the last breath you breathe.
Yes.
But he knows about your life. Invite him inside and the Spirit will straighten you out.
That's
Right. You can get confused. You can go the wrong direction. You can even get lost again. But the Holy Ghost inside of you will straighten you out.
Yes, thank God.
Hallelujah. He will lead you in the right direction. He will turn your boat around. He will get you on your knees. He knows how to get you on your knees. And that's the issue of spiritual morality. Doing real business with a real God who knows what's inside your heart. Quit pretending you're doing great. Get down on your knees and start walking and talking with God about a reality of turning around. What John the Baptist told Israel is you're going the wrong way. Yeah. They were having church. They were going to the synagogue. They had great religious feasts, but they were going the wrong way because they were going away from the morality of God. Yeah. They had rejected the righteousness of God and went about to establish their own righteousness because they were ignorant of the righteousness of God. And that's what's happening to the church. You and I have got to come to that bedrock that said, look, there is a ruler of this world. He has been cast out.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
But he's been invited back.
Right.
He's been invited back by men who want to sit at the top of the pinnacle of the church. Who want to have people see them thrown down so that the miraculous takes place in their life so that everybody oohs and ahs over who they are. How great they are. You and I are not going to compromise in order to do the things God sent us to do. I came out of a meeting in Nicaragua, and for days we talked about the sweet revelation of God, and they were eating it up. They were hugging me. They were loving on me, and this happens in every seminar I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They love me. They just can't get enough of me. They want me to move there and live next door to every one of them. And they want my picture on their wall. Can I have your picture? And then I start talking about their doctrines.
Right.
Yeah. And then they hate me. And nobody likes that. I don't like that. When I get to that part of the seminar and I know where we're getting ready to change,
yeah,
I don't want those people who loved me to hate me. But if I don't tell them the truth, I'm going to stand before God.
That's right.
It ain't an issue about them being my friends. I could have friends in every country in the world. But when I stand at the judgment bar of God, if I have not told them the truth, because I didn't have the fortitude to stand up against the ruler of this world, who said, come on, a little compromise. If you don't go into their doctrine stuff, they're going to end up loving you. Wouldn't you rather have the, I mean, look at the sweet peace in the meeting. Don't you want sweet peace in the meeting?
Yeah.
No. Mm. I want sweet peas in the meeting. I just thought that's what he was always saying. You want sweet peas? I go, yes, peace. Oh, peace. No, I'm not rest in peace. Jesus said I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. I'm about truth, and truth is about confrontation, and confrontation is about telling people what's right. You guys, you and I have a choice. At 12 years old, I began to seek God. By the time I was 13 years old, I'd read the Bible all the way through. By the time I was 14 years old, I fasted and prayed days and nights and prayed all night long, again and again, wanting something from God. I read my Bible constantly. I marked it. I memorized it. I read it. I wanted everything that He was inside of my life. I wanted nothing less than Him to flow through me. And I know that there was lots of offer of compromise. I've had lots of people offer compromise. But when God tells you what to do, and you just keep doing what God tells you to do, you leave the ruler of this world behind. You guys, what He wants is something in you. He wants something in you. Something that says, oh, if only I could be admired. If only I could be cherished. If only I could be the most loved. If only I could be the greatest preacher. If only I had the great gifts. If only people admired me. The whole thing is, you guys, we got to get out of that realm.
Right. Yes.
And get into that place that says, look, it's about being hated, and it's ultimately about giving my life up. Jesus said the Holy Ghost came to reprove the world of sin because they don't see me no more.
Yeah.
Let me read this. I'm going to send you the Comforter.
Amen.
And it's expedient for me to go away. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. They don't believe on me. So you are going to be in that place, aren't you? And then they'll believe. Let's take it to that next level. Let's move from just one body into the church. Because that's what He wanted the priests to do in the days that He was walking the earth. They were the amnesty. They were the amnesty program. The blood was to wash away the sins, and people were going to have peace with God. Then the angels came when Jesus was born and said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Goodwill towards men. God's goodwill is now towards men. Why? Because Jesus was going to pay the price for our sins. Now we can come back into a relationship where God has goodwill towards us. When there's sin in your life, you can't have goodwill from God. So you have the blood to get the sin out, and you have goodwill with God. Peace on earth. You can have peace on the earth in the middle of a war.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
People say, well, I thought he said peace on earth. Look how many wars we've had since then. He wasn't talking about war. That's what the ruler of the world's doing. He's talking about peace. He's talking about being in the middle of a war and having peace. And if you've got peace with God, you can have peace.
That's true.
And that's what God wants in our lives. But you and I have to be careful that we let the Holy Ghost do that in us. So he said he's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. What is righteousness? What is righteousness, you guys? He said, I'm going to my Father, so they're not going to see righteousness on the earth now, unless they see it in you. How will they see righteousness in the church? Living like he did. You guys, it isn't about long sleeves. It's not about all the stuff that the Pentecostal holiness said was holiness. It's about what God says is holiness. It's about what God's estimate of what is righteous. So let's look at Jesus. They came to him. He said, your disciples don't pray and fast enough. He said, I'm not going to put new cloth on an old garment. I'm not going to put new wine in an old wineskin. I'm going to make Peter a new wineskin. I'm going to change these guys. Religion can't do that. I'm going to change them. That's righteousness. Their righteousness isn't about what you see. Their righteousness is about what I know. And I'm the potter. Your accusation isn't against them. Your accusation is against me. If you look at a vessel and you say, wow, that looks stupid, and I'm the person that did it.
Right.
You're not talking to the clay.
Right.
You're going to offend me. You're not going to offend the vessel. You're going to offend me. I'm the potter. And that's what we're doing when we talk about each other in the body of Christ, you guys. We're not offending the person only. We're offending God. God's the potter. And the idea of his righteousness is I want you to live out the righteousness that is brought by the Holy Spirit revealing me to you. Well, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What did he live like? You guys, he didn't elevate himself. He didn't seek for the grandeur. He washed the disciples' feet. He was soft on those people that were tore up by sin. Right. He preached his first message and said, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Right.
Yours is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you heaven. And I know you can't earn it on your own. I know you can't pay for it. You can't do that. I understand that. So you're blessed now because you thought you were going to go to hell. And now you're going to go to heaven. That's the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes, amen.
His kingdom. Hallelujah. And he said, my kingdom's not of this world.
Yeah, I know.
So you and I belong in a kingdom that's not of this world. So what's happening around us in the world has no effect on us because we're not of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. So we're seeing a lot of things change around us, but we recognize, wait a minute, we're not of this world. We are of a kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom. So things are changing around us, but God's bringing us to a place that we are drawing into his spirit. And that's what the disciples did. The disciples drew into his spirit. And the Holy Ghost finished that judgment against the prince of this world. Of judgment? Because the prince of this world is judged. You guys, he was judged by Jesus in the high priest. He was judged by Jesus in the ordinary Levites. He was judged. The ruler of this world was judged by Jesus in false doctrines, false teachings, and false one more thing. They came to false conclusions. They said, he's got it done. The only way we're going to shut him up is killing. That's a false conclusion, because it wasn't a conclusion. They didn't kill him.
That's right.
He came back.
Yes, amen.
That false idea said, shut him up. They said, look at Lazarus. They said, yeah, look at Lazarus. Look how everybody's going after him. Everybody's going to go after him now. They were jealous of of people knowing that he raised this man from the dead. So they said, we'll kill him. We'll kill him. That's the only thing we can do, you guys. This man who raised the dead, the only thing we can do to this man who raised the dead is kill him. Mm. Or this thing's going to grow.
What are you talking about?
Mm. We need the Holy Ghost.
Oh, we do.
Yes, we do.
There's talk against Christianity from people who claim to be Christians today.
Yeah.
That is so repugnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are all kinds of things that are being shoved at people because they are Christians.
Yeah.
Hatred has grown like I've never seen it before against anyone who stands for what's true and pure and right. Yeah. If we ever needed the Holy Ghost living in our life, we need it now.
Yes, amen.
We need to be under the right ruler.
Yes.
We need to be under the right ideas. We need to understand spiritual morality. We need to worship God in the Spirit and in truth. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to judge the ruler of this world. Now, this is the 16th chapter. In the 14th chapter, Jesus said, I'm not going to talk much with you because the ruler of this world is coming and you have no part in me.
Yeah.
In chapter 12, he had already said, now is the ruler of this world cast out. Now. Why? Because God had spoken to him. Now is the time. Now is the time for me to come and die. So I want to go back for just a second, read a few more verses there. In John chapter 16. Verse 13. Howbeit when he... Well, verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You couldn't bear to hear what I've got to say now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall see me. Shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me because I go to my Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he said unto us? A little while and you shall not see me. Again a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he says. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, you guys, this late in what's happening between him and the disciples, they don't get it. They still get, he's talking to them, they're still not getting what he's saying. That encourages me, because there's a whole lot of stuff he talks to me, I don't get it. A whole lot of things he says, and I just stare at him. I always shake my head yes, because I know he's telling me the truth. But I don't always get what he's saying. And then I tell him, well,
that's for sure.
I don't get what you're telling me. I mean, I don't get what you're telling me. I just don't. But I pray. God, I need to know what you're telling me. I want you to make me understand it. These disciples, he's telling me, you know, a little while, you're gonna not gonna see me for a little while, and then after a while you're gonna see me. It's like, okay. What do you think he means by that? What's he telling us about going away and then coming back? Now listen. So they desired to ask him, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while and you shall not see me? And again a little while and you shall see me. Verily I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is in that conflict, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is in that battle against the ruler of the world. Because you don't want to give yourself up in a way that makes everybody around you lament.
Ooh.
You don't want everybody around you to cry. You don't want to look like you were defeated and the people that love you are the ones that are weeping. That's what this is about. It's about giving yourself up all the way down to this place. It's like, God, I want you to use me and I want my life to be totally what you want it to be. You shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And that's really what you and I are getting ready to do, is birth that that the world needs. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, for you, that your joy might be full. You guys, you don't want the enemy to have anything in you. Because he'll use it against you. You don't want him to put something in you about somebody. Because you want a clean heart. He said, who will approach to me? Who's going to come up on this holy mountain? He said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. It isn't about what looks like on the outside. It is about what you do honest business with God starting today. Honest business. God, I want you to live in me. I want you to show out through me so that the world can see who you are. I want the world to see your righteousness. I want to live in such a way that they see what's right by your acceptance, by what you accept, and by your standard. I want to live like you lived, and I want the world to see what it is that you want of them. You guys, religion drives people away from God. Love draws people to God. Jesus didn't drive anybody away from God. He confronted the leaders. He confronted the rulers of the people because they were driving the people away from God. But Jesus didn't. And that's where you and I need that revelation, that fresh revelation from the Holy Ghost that says, God, I want to walk in your righteousness. And I want people to see that I'm not saying negative things about people, that I am loving. Jesus never uttered anything to the disciples that was despairing to someone else. His heart was pure. And his life was clean. And that's what you and I want. We want to live that kind of life. He sees inside of our heart. And you guys, that is the most important thing we can do business with. God knows your heart. He knows your motives. He knows your intent. Today, if you know that you need a cleansing from him, we want that cleansing power. I believe that God is talking to us because we are coming into an hour that the ruler of this world has tried to reinforce himself and reassert himself and has been successful over a lot that calls itself Christian. And for you and I to have the Holy Ghost lead us into what is absolutely the will of God, to walk in the place of surrender of God, laying down our lives. He said, he that seeketh to save his life, the same shall lose it. That's what we read in John. So if you seek to lose your life for his sake, you're going to gain it. That's the thing that strips off of you everything that Satan will try to hold against you. And it takes his presence to do it. So that's why we invite him in. It's like, God, I can't do these things on my own. I'm woefully inadequate at this. I'm not honest about the things that I do. I talk Christian things and think worldly things. I quote a scripture, then I do some action that's contrary to your word. And God, I want to stop doing that. I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to stand before you and have you say I'm perverse. Because that's what Jesus encountered. Because these people had the wrong idea, established wrong rulers, and followed the wrong leadership of those rulers, they became perverse. And there wasn't anything truth could do with them. There was nothing truth could do with them. Because they were under the dominion of the ruler of God, knowing honest things about you and me. And because he knows it, we just want to take ourselves to him and say, okay, from this day on, you're the potter. You change me. I want to be honest. I want to be transparent. I want you to be able to show the world your righteousness in your church, in me, in your people. Let's stand together.
Thank you, Jesus.
If the King who created the universe estimates that that spirit was the ruler of the world, that's quite a statement. If the God who created this universe says that that spirit is the ruler of this world, that's quite a statement. But he also said he's been cast out. That spirit's been cast out. You and I do not have to be under the dominion of that falsehood and error. We don't. So I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray. You want something from God? I believe God's telling us that we can have 100%. Just be honest. Just be pure before God and let him do the work. This standard is too high for you and me. The bar is too high. God didn't set this up and say, jump it. God set it up and said, look at me. Look at me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this Holy Spirit inside you for this reason. I want you to be filled with my presence. I want you to be filled with my righteousness. And I want you to be filled with my judgment. My judgment. My judgment. Father, we thank you. God, we are all coming before your throne today. God, I believe every person in this place wants an honest walk with you. God, we want to be what you want us to be 24 hours a day. God, we don't want to take vacations from righteousness. God, we don't want to leave your will behind. God, we don't want Satan to be able to put a handle upon us, that he would have anything in us that rules us. God, we want to be purified by your Spirit, filled with your presence. God, we want your church brought back to that place that you are the King. God, we want the church to be brought back to that place that she exhibits in this world, that truth, making known to all men those things that are your will. God, we have you as our hope and nothing less. And God, I pray for every person, every young person in this place. Nobody's too young to make a commitment to follow you. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would lift up every heart, every person in here who wants a closer walk with you. God, this morning we are praying that your Holy Spirit would bring it about. Only your Holy Ghost can complete that in us. God, we want a closer walk with you. And God, as we see things changing around us, we recognize that the church that calls itself Christian has indeed again come under that same spirit. And God, we recognize that a battle has to be appropriated, Lord, again against that spirit. Even though it was cast out, God, even though it was defeated at Calvary, it has reasserted itself against your precious church. And God, we are walking as the people walked in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. God, we see around us people not committed to your truth, living religious things and burdening people with things they cannot do. God, help us to get on fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that we might rescue people with that which is truth. God, there is a place of utterance that we desire where you would speak through us. God, that we would say those things that are absolutely right. God, we don't want to be on the side of softness, allowing sin to grow in people. God, we want to be in the middle of conviction, where your Spirit upon us convicts the sin in people. God, where it convicts the sin in us. God, we want your Holy Ghost to be so real in us, God, that people feel convicted and want to have that cleansing power. God, that they want to be washed in your blood. God, that we want to leave yesterday behind. God, there is no power that can bind us. God, the only thing that happens is we can hold to those things. And God, I pray that every person in this place that has chosen to hold to something of sin because it brings pleasure, God, I pray that it be broken, that power be broken in the name of Jesus. God, if there's anybody in this place who has chosen to keep something back, Lord, giving you 90% and keeping back 10. Lord, I pray against that 10. I pray against that pleasure. I pray against that that comes against them, Jesus, that they would make that choice that says, I'm going to live it with all of my heart. I'm going to have his Spirit bring me all of his victory. I'm turning my back on the world. Yesterday's gone. I'm not going to live part in and part out. I'm going to live all the way in. I'm going to run this race with patience, and I am going to gain the prize. God, I pray it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we pray it in your holy, righteous name. God, bless Fred and Sharon, their travels. Bring them safely home. God, we pray again, Jesus, that your Spirit would lead this church. God, as you've been leading it, God, give us that fire from on high. Set us ablaze with your Spirit. God, we're coming into changes in this nation. And God, I pray that no one would feel fear. God, I pray that no one would feel anxiety. God, that every single person that feels that would draw close to you, and in that closeness, feel that victoryness.